We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
We're going to continue to see automation occur with the self-checkouts, the scanning of the products, looking at different components of navigating within a store where certain products are. So I think that really will become full circle here.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne, and on this episode of Retail Gets Real, we're talking about retail real estate with Angie Solanki, National Director Retail US for Colliers, a firm that manages a portfolio of over 2 billion square feet of retail establishments in the United States. We're going to talk to Angie about the retail landscape, the future of the physical store, and what pandemic-era retail trends are here to stay. Angie Solanki, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me.
I'm so glad that you could be here. And I'm very excited about this conversation because, you know, for so long, and I'm talking a few years ago, pre-pandemic, for sure, but so much of what we were doing at the National Retail Federation, particularly here in the communication shop, was setting the record straight about the health of retail, and particularly that doggone narrative that was driving us crazy, which was the death of physical retail. And so, you know, there's probably nobody better suited to address that than you are because of what you do, people that you deal with, and the work that you undertake. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background and experience, and Colliers as it relates to retail and your role.
Well, wonderful. So, you know, I am just one of those crazy passionate people who enjoys every aspect of retail. And I would say I've been in the business 31 years. So I've seen the ups, the downs, the sideways, as we call it. But one thing that's constant, which I really enjoy about retail, is that it's constantly changing. And it's changing, as we know, because retail evolves based on consumer demands. And based on those consumer demands, how we shop, where we shop, why we shop, and how we spend, the retailers that we work with see those changes. And through those efforts, they also edit their playbook.
If you don't like change, then the place you don't want to be is in retail, because it is constantly changing and evolving. And 30 years, Angie, when did you start? When you were 8? I mean, I know people can't see you, but there's 30 years. That's a long time. You've seen a lot. I mean, in all of those 30 years, what have you seen that's kind of struck you as one of the massive turning points in terms of physical retail?
I would say definitely technology and the use of technology. We use it somewhat freely because there's so many aspects of technology. And what I mean by that is, when you look at retail and technology, there's the consumer-facing technology, and we're starting to see that with the Amazon Fresh. I was recently in a store, and I said, oh my goodness, you know, I was one of those, it was almost like I was going to an amusement park. And I said, I have to just go in there and I got to bring all my family members with me because we have to test out this technology with their shopping cart. So it was that experience, right? And then you have the technology on the other side, which we tend to utilize in commercial real estate. Whether you're a landlord, a retailer, or a broker, or even a property manager using technology, the technology has become a part of our vocabulary today. And yes, I was expecting it, but I don't think I was expecting it to be a must-have in how we handle our real estate. And I think it's become so important as we navigate in terms of, you know, site selection or how a retailer is actually laying out their store in terms of product and SKUs and the number of SKUs and how are those SKUs and, you know, SKUs being the number of products, right? What's selling, what isn't selling in, and how do we customize that product line for that consumer in the community that they live in? So to me, technology plays a really important and critical role today.
You know, we talk a lot about experiential retail. What is your take on that?
You know, I think it's an overused word.
I totally agree. Right? It's like the omni-channel of yesterday. I mean, experiential. Everybody talks about that.
Right. What I like in terms of an experience could mean so many different things, but that experience is going to be, in my mind, two things. One, your own personal experience, right? In terms of you walked into a store, you were either greeted really well by someone that took the time to actually, introduce themselves to you, get to know what are you looking for? Not very robotic, right? Like, hello and welcome to the store. It's more, let me share something new about a product we just launched.
Right.
Engage with me. That to me is an experience. Or I'm having an experience at a wonderful restaurant with my family or friends. And, you know, the person again is sharing something really interesting about, you know, the restaurant is maybe the chef. For example, I just had, dinner with my family on Saturday night and the chef really connected with me by saying, oh, so, are you local? And the minute he said, oh, are you local? I was able to say, I personally am not. I'm from San Francisco. Next thing you knew, we started talking about all the wonderful restaurants in San Francisco because he has an Italian, he's, from an Italian family. So
that's
a connection we're creating. And that's what, retail really is about, is that connection.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I do believe that experiential is a bit overused without a lot of definition around it. It's kind of thrown out like, everybody knows what experiential retail is, but every experience is different and everybody's expectation of their experience is really different. So where it may be important to one, it's not necessarily important to the other. The level is important to one. The level isn't important to the other. So it is kind of a little amorphous, but you know that people, that experience that you have at a retail establishment, whether it's food retail or product retail, whatever it is, it's enhanced by that connection that you can make, whether it's with the person or just the place even. I mean, if it's convenient and you know the people that are there and it's in the neighborhood.
What I find really amazing is if you stop and think about what you just described, right? We're starting to see the retail community embrace that. So it's through that, again, another overused word, placemaking. So you see placemaking with a lot of projects, but there's something really important with that. I just went to a project in Huntington Beach and I was, they had all these Instagrammable areas that they created and there were people and families just completely dressed up for that moment, whether they're shopping or not, I have no idea. But they're definitely there. They took the time to find a parking spot and they took the time to get dressed up for their Instagrammable moment. And I just find that you're going to have those moments and it's not experiential. It's really that memorable experience you're going to create for yourself.
Yep. Your passion for retail is very obvious. I love retail. And I was going to say, you need to come work for the National Retail Federation because we're all passionate about retail. It's what we do every single day. And we enjoy it so much, not only who we're doing it with, but who we're doing it for. But how do you take a road trip? I mean, the only reason I ask you that question is I would just imagine if I was in commercial construction specific towards this industry, I couldn't get down the road and be like, oh God, that place just, how did they lay that out? And then you stop and you're like, oh, I got to go in this place. This is unbelievable. Do you do that?
I do. I do that. And so, yes. My family.
Fun to travel with.
Yeah. If you're in that same space mindset, call me. But if not, and my poor family members and friends know this very well, I tend to stop. I say, oh my God, stop. What is that over there? I got to stop. Go in the parking lot, make a detour. And they're like, oh gosh, Angie, are you really serious? I said, yes. And a great example of this was on Friday, actually. We're doing a tour and I'm looking at this project. And I said, oh, we need to make a U-turn and circle back because I need to understand this. How do they condense so much retail on this very tight corner. But not only did they do that, they actually created this amazing storefront. And the storefront is larger than life. And actually, when you look at the, you know, the retail storefronts adjacent, which are more traditional, this larger than life storefront was actually this gorgeous, again, food court, quote unquote, but it was actually this food mecca. And it was a food mecca allowing all these food operators that are local to the community to be showcased and highlighted in terms of their who they are and their cuisine. And for me, it touched every sense. You know, it was visual. I could smell and see, and I could hear people enjoying and just, you know, the excitement that it created. And yeah, to me, that last piece, that sixth, you know, is the experience. It created a very memorable experience for me to say, I'm coming back and I'm eating here.
Yeah. It is a burden that those who love retail bear together. I remember my former employer, I'd be in a small town and I would have to stop at the store just to see, because I hadn't seen a layout like that before. So another question for you that I feel very strongly about, and that is store openings and store closings. I will tell you again, it was something that we just, there are these experts, and I'm going to use air quotes, experts that were the same ones talking about the death of retail, death of the physical store, that were constantly, they were running tallies on the number of stores that were actually closing versus the number of stores that were opening. What are you seeing, Angie?
Definitely, store openings are outpacing store closures.
And what? Are you sure?
I'm 1,000% sure. I'm not from Mars. So definitely, look, there's a couple things happening in our space, as you know, Bill. One is, we're seeing non-traditional retail just exploding. That's your med retail. That's your wellness centers.
Right.
You know, there's also new concepts that are coming out in that space that are non-traditional. And so when you have these types of, call it quasi-retailers looking to be in retail projects, the answer is why. The reason is, it's all about, again, the number one thing. Shoppers are looking for convenience. They're looking for a project that has all these opportunities to go to the grocery store, go to the drugstore, go work out, take my pet to this amazing new concept, veterinarian concept, or just food for dogs so they can get their special customized, you know, meal kits.
Right.
That is the reason why we're seeing this amazing experience where not only are new store openings outpacing store closures? We're seeing new formats that are highly digitized, smaller in footprint. We're starting to see, you know, rents, rent collections bounce back. They're over 90% for non-nationals and nationals. And yes, I know there may be another wave, but I'm still extremely bullish when it comes to retail. And I'm excited to say that as an organization here at Colliers, we're also quite bullish. I mean, we have looked at our 2021 numbers in terms of leasing pace, and I'm not comparing to 2020. I'm comparing to 19, 18, and 17, and we're exceeding it by a very healthy double-digit percentage.
Yeah. And the other thing that you're not seeing, or maybe you have, and I've just been missing it myself, but the other thing you aren't seeing is a lot of those headlines about retail bankruptcies. I mean, it seemed to me there was a lot, but I believe that that's just kind of the nature of the beast. Retail, to your point, it changes and it changes both constructively and it changes in direction and it changes in look and feel and product and generations go on and on and on. But the bankruptcies, you just don't see those headlines much anymore.
No, you don't. And I think you also have to remember, right, we have here in the U.S., there is, I believe, 23 square feet of retail per person.
Right. Which is extreme.
It's so high.
Yep.
And if you look at our colleagues in different parts of the world, it's between, 7 square feet per person. So, yep. We are oversaturated. You know, there's all, we can go into a different discussion at some later date, but, you know, it's really about how retailers now, through the use of technology, capturing this data, they're able to really refine how they're opening stores. So, and where they're opening stores and what is that footprint and how do we look at online versus in-store shopping, et cetera. And with that fine tuning, I think what we're now seeing is, you know, whether it's bankruptcies or a portfolio consolidation or a restructuring of portfolios, we're now starting to see a very positive momentum of store openings and or new store formats. And to me, I am really excited about that because it really helps us as a retail community to highlight that and spotlight all these changes that we're seeing.
Yeah, the format changes have been pretty extraordinary and pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
And you know, and it's all driven by the consumer. I think there was a day, where the retailer would let the consumer know, this is what you're going to get and you're going to love it. And that day is long gone. And it's now the consumer saying to the retailer, this is what you're going to do for me, and you're going to love it. And you're going to prosper as a result of it.
Yeah, I mean, hence pop-up, right?
Yep. Totally.
Right? That's why we see a lot of brands looking at, even mature brands looking at, well, let's just pop up, test out our concept. It might be a new product that they want to launch. And the ability to do that to me is wonderful for a year. Yep. I mean, here in San Francisco, you know, I still go on my long walks in the early evenings, thankfully. And with that, you know, what the Gap has done is they actually decided to open all four brands. So Gap, Athleta, Banana Republic, and Old Navy in the smaller footprint below their office HQ. Hmm. So they're pulling, you know, I'm not saying they're pulling out of the traditional shopping centers, but what right. they are doing is they're creating this. And I think it could be because they want to engage with all of those that are passing by and the community around them to start to engage and ask questions about, you know, the product in a very subconscious way.
Yeah. And there's no getting around. I mean, you can't say, I don't know what people are thinking. Just go on Twitter. Go on Instagram, go on any of the social media sites, you'll know what the customers are thinking. And you'll know that you're providing a good experience or a bad experience. And you know that if you don't change that, build on the good, get rid of the bad, you're not going to be around for long.
Most definitely. I mean, there was a company, it was actually an online company that just happened to open up a store, or actually an office in a retail storefront in a neighborhood. And someone knocked on the door and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I buy all your product online. You actually have a storefront. She said, oh, I should consider opening a storefront. So she did. But when she did, what was really amazing, she said to me, Angie, is she said, the customers were coming in and they said to us, instead of having, you know, just an in-home type of a shoe, why don't you, because we love your shoes, just make the soles a little thicker and now we can wear these beautiful designs and comfortable shoes outdoors as well. And that's yeah. Rothy's. So
I was just going to say, I was at Rothy's. Last time I was in San Francisco, we went by. And what an extraordinary experience that was.
Yes.
I mean, they had people lined up down the street.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just incredible. And I think that is, if you can ask or engage with your customers, they're the ones that are going to tell you what they like and dislike. It's so simple, right? We try to overcomplicate it and it just gets squirrely.
That really does lead into the next question I was going to ask, but I'm going to preface it by saying that one of the things that I've really, really enjoyed watching during the time of COVID, which... Mm-hmm. To use the word enjoy and COVID in the same sentence does not really work. But in this case, it was watching our retailers do things very quickly in order to meet the challenges of the time. What pandemic era strategies that you've seen that retailers have undertaken that are here and you expect them to stay?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that a couple of the strategies that we saw, one of which we actually deployed more so with the small business owners was Shopify. Mm-hmm. And so we actually partnered with Shopify. And how we partnered with them is that we went to a lot of our landlords and said, hey, you have, you know, these wonderful small business operators. They have been loyal, dedicated, paying rent on time. They have a great, you know, concept store. Unfortunately, they have no online store and they're forced to be closed. So how do we help them? We don't really want to lose them. And so we were able to actually partner with Shopify, connect with our landlords, host workshops, get these small businesses online to have an online store. And now what I'm noticing is that Shopify, quietly in the background, they're also helping a lot of these mature retailers as well in the deployment of, you know, whether it's fulfillment strategies or online strategies. And so I think that's not going to go away. I think a lot of these retailers need third-party services in order to meet the demands that we're seeing as it relates to, you know, buying online or picking up in store or returning in store, that whole full cycle. And so I think these retailers are finally realizing we can't do everything in-house. We need to actually have partners. So that's one. I would say the second one that we have seen more so is that product engagement, meaning that they're not trying to cram all their products within their store, and therefore they're being smart about how much product they're bringing in. So from an inventory perspective, right. So we're seeing a lot of digitalization in the inventory space. And then the last, because that also helps with supply chain. And then the last piece I would say is automation, right? We're going to continue to see automation occur with the self-checkouts, the scanning of the products, looking at different components of navigating within a store, right, where certain products are. So I think that really will become full circle here.
Angie, one of the things that we love about Retail Gets Real is a lot of students listen to Retail Gets Real. And we talk a lot about the different types of jobs and career opportunities that there are in retail. It doesn't just mean folding sweaters at the store or seasonal work. It means great careers in aspects of retail that most people don't even think about. So what, to your line of work, what you do, what are the opportunities there?
Oh, the opportunities, in my opinion, are they're not just endless. There's so many opportunities, and I'll just share a few. So for example, you know, when I look at our retail business in the US that I oversee, I'm tapping into capital markets. And within capital markets, that's selling of shopping centers, that's buying of shopping centers. There's the analysts that support those teams, those brokerage teams. There's single tenant, there's multi-tenant. So that's just capital markets, right? And then within that, you also have the marketing aspects to it. Then you have the project leasing. So whether you're project leasing mixed use assets with office in retail or hospitality in retail or multifamily in retail, that individual has exposure to not just the retail component, but they also have exposure to these other asset classes. And to me, that's just fantastic, because you're learning so much. You also have the tenant rep side of the business, and you can then start to specialize in big box or restaurants or drive-throughs only and ground leases. And again, it's endless within that area. You have property management, you have project management. If you really like to get your hands dirty and work with, you know, construction folks and say, you know, no, you got to toe the line, that sounds so high, you know, you want to value engineer this. I mean, to me, retail, again, it has so many, you know, I would call it like open up the closet door as a student and you'll see the endless closet. It's like Narnia. Like, oh my gosh, I want to wear all of those dresses and shoes and accessories. It's like, yes, if you are a student, you're thinking about the retail industry, please explore, listen in, talk to people, talk to any of us, including myself. You know, I always say I'm truly when it comes to students who are looking for an opportunity, it's 24/7. You know, you'll find me on LinkedIn. Tap me, please, because I'm happy to help and share.
We ask all of our guests a question that we get a lot out of ourselves personally, and then I know that our listeners get a lot out of it as well. So what is the best advice you have ever received that has helped you throughout your career? Or what piece of advice would you give to others?
So the piece of advice I would always, you know, that I like to share is that it's so important to constantly ask questions, be curious, take the time to really learn and understand not only your point of view, the other person's point of view, because perceptions can be changed. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to acquire new knowledge. And I think it's so critical because we all have experienced life in different chapters of our lives in different ways, whether it's our social background, our family background, our travel that we've seen and learned from others. So my comment is always just be curious and ask as many questions as possible without overanalyzing things. And I think it really creates this kind of well-rounded mindset, and it allows you to really think, I think, a bit broader, a bit bigger. And I will leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is from Pema Chodron. She is a Tibetan, or I should say an American Tibetan Buddhist. And she was born and raised in Eastern US. And why it really rings close to me is my favorite book from her is called Comfortable with Uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And her quote is, "We can make ourselves miserable, or we can make ourselves strong. The amount of effort is the same."
Well done. Angie Solanki, thank you so very much for this conversation. I've enjoyed it immensely, and I know that our listeners have as well.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope that you will come back, because we have, as we talked about at the very start of this thing, it's always changing. Retail is always changing, and your insights are extremely interesting because you're right there on the front lines. You're seeing it firsthand. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. Now, you can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne, and as we have said throughout this pandemic, in closing, please be safe, stay well, and until next time, thanks again.